Teach Me to Code, Episode 31, Time Management. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week I'm going to be talking to you about managing your time, maybe making your time a little more productive or efficient. Now, I do want to point out really quickly that this podcast is sponsored by New Relic. New Relic is the top online application management tool out there for Ruby and Java applications, and it's something that a lot of the big companies out there use, but works really well for your small projects as well. And you can check them out at You can check them out at www.newrelic.com. I also want to point out that I usually try and alternate between interviews and kind of the spoken episodes, but my interview yesterday had to reschedule, and so I'm going to be talking to him next week. I'm actually doing two interviews next week, and I'll probably put them up back to back. One other thing I want to point out is that you can typically get a hold of me by going to facebook.com/teachmetocode. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/teachmetocode or twitter.com/charlesmaxwood. You can find me on most of the IM platforms, and I'll have a contact page up really soon so that you can reach out to me. I also would really appreciate it if you could leave me feedback on iTunes. The reason I say that you can usually get a hold of me is because I'm actually going to be out of town between the 16th and 22nd. Now, I am planning on scheduling a podcast to be released that Tuesday as per normal, so there shouldn't be any hiccup there, but if you need to get a hold of me, send me an email and just be aware that you won't be able to get a hold of me until the 22nd or later. All right, well, let's get into time management here. There are really two parts of time management, and as far as I can tell, we talked a lot about one of them last time, and that is planning, and we talked a lot about estimating. Now, there is a difference between estimating and planning, but estimating is kind of the first half of planning. If you estimate your project, if you're figuring out how long things are going to take or what's going to be involved, you know, that's a big part of it. And then you can get into prioritizing and scheduling what you've estimated so that you can get the stuff done. Now, scheduling weeks at a time typically won't get you a whole lot in the way of efficiency. I mean, you know, I've never been able to set a long-term goal and not reach it by setting shorter-term goals. So, you know, it's kind of the same there with the scheduling. You know, if you can schedule it out day to day, then you can get a little bit better idea of what's going on. Now, there are a lot of tools out there for scheduling things. One is if you've estimated in hours, you just put that number of hours in and then plan on working on the next thing if you have more hours left in your day. Another tool that I really like is the Pomodoro technique. I've probably mentioned it a few times in other episodes of the podcast, but, you know, I'm just going to explain what it is. And, if you want the in-depth version, you can go to pomodorotechnique.com and, they have an ebook on there that explains how to do it all. But in a nutshell, what it is you basically have, 25 minute blocks of work that you can accomplish. And so what you do is you sit down and you say, okay, well, I have this task, and I think it's going to take me, let's just say 3 hours. Well, with the Pomodoro technique, the way it works is that 3 hours is 6 sets of 25-minute work blocks and 5-minute breaks. And so each 25-minute work block or work section plus a 5-minute break is a half hour, so you get 6 of those in 3 hours. So basically what you're saying is, I think I can complete this task in 6 Pomodoros. So what you do is you go ahead and you kind of mark out a grid on a piece of paper. You write down the task. You write down that you think it's going to take 6 Pomodoros. And then what you do is you religiously follow that. So you work for 25 minutes, you break for 5 minutes. Work 25 minutes, break for 5 minutes. Work 25 minutes, break for 5 minutes. You kind of get the idea. Every time you do a Pomodoro or a 25-minute work period, what you wind up doing is you go ahead and you put a little tick mark off to the side so that you can track the number of Pomodoros it actually took. And the idea is that you become more accurate in your estimates of what things are going to take, you know, because you get used to, okay, well, this kind of thing takes me about this long. And then you can kind of figure out, okay, well, then I have this other task, and when I'm working on this other task, it should take about the same amount of time as the first task. And so then I can figure out, okay, well, here we go. This one will take 8 Pomodoros because the last one took 8 Pomodoros. Now, you may be wondering where the term Pomodoro comes from. Pomodoro is the Italian word for tomato. And they have these little cooking timers that look like tomatoes. And what you do is you just turn the top half. And anyway, what happens is you when you turn the top half, it, you know, it's like an egg timer. It's like turning the dial on the front, or, you know, if you have the egg-shaped ones where you turn the top half around to a certain amount of time. And so you would just turn that to 25 minutes, and then when it went off, then you go take a break after setting it for 5 minutes, and then you need to be back to work by the time it goes off again. Now, there is software out there, and if you're doing the Pomodoro technique and you have software that you want to recommend, that would be terrific. I have used a Pomodoro one on my Mac. It works great on Mac OS, and it just does a little growl notification every so often. And I believe you can also build AppleScript into it. So what you can do is you can say, okay, well, the stuff I have, when I'm in a work period, then I need it to run this AppleScript, and basically it'll shut down like Twitter and Facebook and all these other things, and it'll bring up your, you know, your other programs. You can program your Mac to do that. And then when your Pomodoro is over, it puts all that stuff away, saves all your changes. Maybe commits them to your source code repository, and then it brings up, you know, Facebook and Twitter and whatever else you're going to do for the next 5 minutes. And it seems to work pretty good. It also works in eliminating distractions, because basically what it gives you is it gives you that buffer that you can push it off to. So you're like, well, you know, whatever's going on, I can push that off for 20 minutes, you know. And if somebody comes to your desk, you can quickly explain the Pomodoro technique and then encourage them to come back in 15 minutes or whatever. And most people are considerate enough, unless there's some kind of emergency, that typically works. But ultimately, I came into this from the scheduling angle, and Pomodoros is a really good way to schedule those. Another thing you can do is you can just guess how long it's going to take, and then you go ahead and you just block that out on your schedule. When I'm doing that kind of scheduling, I usually like to build some kind of fudge factor in there, because even though a lot of times what I expect to happen is going to take, say, 4 or 5 hours, sometimes something unexpected comes up and I have to work through or around something, and when that happens, it's easier just to have that fudge factor in there, so I can go, okay, well, I actually scheduled 6 hours even though I thought it would only take me 4 or 5, and that works out great. You know, if you're doing that kind of thing with your boss, you know, then you know, you can come in a little ahead of schedule. And, you know, that seems to work out really well. One other thing this is a tool that my boss picked up at the Agile Roots conference, and that is that he has this paper, and basically what it is it's kind of a larger piece of paper. He got it from a company called Menlo. And basically what it is you can fit a full-size paper in this box that they've drawn, and that represents a week's worth of work. But you can actually put, you know, if you fold it in half, then that's a half week's worth of work. If you fold it in half again, that's a quarter of a week's worth of work, which is about a day's worth of work. You know, and you can fold it down another one or two times before it's really kind of odd. But anyway, then you can see what fits into your week. You can prioritize that, and then you can schedule that in and say, well, you know, I folded it twice, so that's a day's worth of work. And then you can basically say, well, I'm going to work on this all day. And then you can break that up and you can say, okay, well, I'm going to have this part of it done by 10, this part of it done by noon, this part of it done by 2, and this part of it done by 4. I'm going to be out of here at 5. You know, and you can do that kind of thing. But if you have those time horizons to get things done, then you can tend to focus on that, and you can eliminate some of the distractions, and you know you can plan out what you're going to be able to get done, and then you're not having these unreasonable expectations of what progress you're going to have made by the time you get that done. Now, the other part of it outside of planning is eliminating distractions. And this is something that's kind of hard because most of us work on a team with other developers. We have testers, we have project managers, product people, marketers, and they all want to know when things are going to be done. They want to know, they want to know how things are going. Now, if you have a really good manager that deals with those people on a regular basis, then he should be handling most of that. But still, he might be coming to bother you and things like that. Or people might be sending you emails saying, hey, I need this, hey, I need that. So what we're looking at here is you need to be able to eliminate some of these distractions. Now, some of the ones that I came up with, other than people walking up to your desk, which is really annoying, unless I guess it's important. Sometimes it's not annoying, but a lot of times it is. So you have email, you have phone, you have IM, you might have some kind of social media, you may be just browsing the web. I mean, all kinds of things, I listen to podcasts when I program, and sometimes they'll talk about something interesting, and so I want to go look it up. And so, there you have to find ways to mitigate the distraction so that you can keep the flow. And if you've ever been in a terrific programming flow, you know what a pain it is to have that interrupted. Now, there are a lot of techniques that are recommended in the 4-hour work week. Now, I just want to point out that the 4-hour work week is actually a book about kind of liberating yourself from your job, building a business that can support a lifestyle that you want. And, it's not so much about time management. It is, but it's not. It has one section. I'm trying to remember. I think it's he has the acronym DEAL, DEAL. And it's the E section of that. Eliminate. So basically, so you have your emails, you have phone, IM, social media, and browsing the web. Now, if you're doing Pomodoro technique, this is sort of easy. Because basically what you can do is you can put an autoresponder on your email, a voicemail message on your phone, and they basically say, hey, you must have caught me during a Pomodoro. I'll email you back within the next half hour. IM, you can set your status to away, or just close it down and then open it up when you're on your break. Social media is the same thing. And browsing the web, you can make a quick note and then just keep going. Now, I do want to point out that he actually recommends that you only check your email like once a week or once a day or whatever will work. I found in doing techniques like this that if I check my email every day at the same time, I usually don't miss anything. And, I do check it at other times, but those other times are when people walk over to my desk or, in some other way get my attention and say, hey, did you get my email? And we need to talk about it. So there is that. The phone is the same thing. Now, the way I have my phone set up is my desk phone just forwards to my cell phone. And my cell phone, I don't have to pick it up. So a lot of times I'll just reach over and mute it if somebody calls me. The IM thing, well, I'm on IM with most of my development team for most of the time that I'm there. So, I can't exactly just turn that off. But, at the same time, if somebody sends me an IM and I'm working on something else and I'm focused, I'll just ignore it. I'll just kind of acknowledge it and then ignore it. And then when I get to a breaking point, I'll come back to it. And I don't strictly follow Pomodoro technique, but if I'm in the flow, I'm not going to answer IMs. So then they wind up coming over to my desk if it's important. And if it's not, then usually they'll just wait until I get around to getting back to them. Social media is kind of the same thing. I'll get to a breaking point, I'll say, well, I'm going to work until I get to this point, and then I get to that point, and then I'll go check Twitter or whatever. And browsing the web, I try and keep that to my personal time, so I'll do it during lunch or whatever. So one other way of eliminating distractions is getting out of the office. Now, I've actually arranged things with my boss so that I can work from home 2 days a week. And I've actually found that I am more effective and efficient at home than I am at the office. Now, you would think that that's a little counterproductive. I mean, I have 3 kids, and I'm married, and, you know, there's a ton going on here. My wife actually babysits during the day, so there will be anywhere from 3 to 7 kids here at any given time. And my wife's pretty good about keeping the kids away from me while I'm working from home. And the nice thing is I can go downstairs and get lunch when it's convenient. If my wife needs to run out and do something, then I can just break from work, go take care of it, and come back. But that doesn't happen very often. And if you can arrange things with the people you live with so that you can work from home and not be distracted or bothered, you know, it really works out really well. And then people can't walk up to your desk. If they need something from you from work, they have to reach you over one of the methodologies that you can use to postpone it until it's a convenient time. And as long as you don't push them off for more than a half hour or so, they're usually pretty good. And my coworkers are actually really good about, if I don't respond for a couple of hours, they're just like, hey, whatever. And, you know, they can go on, do other things, and then, you know, we can take care of it. So if I get into a good programming flow, you know, it's nice because, you know, there is no distraction unless they call me up on the phone. And if they call me up on the phone, I know they're serious. So, you know, it really works out. You know, one thing that I have noticed is that I actually have a dedicated area where I can work. I have my own office that I use as my podcast studio. So I can just walk in here, shut the door, and, you know, I'm in great shape as far as having privacy and you know, a lack of distractions. One other thing that I've found is that if you can kind of stick to a schedule, you know, so I actually give my wife a good idea. Okay, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna start working now. I come out, and then when I go back in for lunch, I just look at her and say, well, I should be done around, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock. And, you know, and then she has an idea of when to expect me to come down for dinner or whatever. But, you know, then I can come in here, I can close the door, I can turn on some music, which really helps me get into the groove for some reason. You know, maybe a little bit more than the podcasts even. But, you know, you just figure out whatever helps you get into that groove. You kind of create the ultimate atmosphere for what you're trying to do. And then you just get stuff done. And I'll tell you, it is really nice. You know, and I work about 20 minutes from here, so I don't have to drive 20 minutes out and 20 minutes back. You know, so there are a few other perks, but really, I just get a ton more done. And having explained that to my boss, he's all for me working from home a couple of days a week. There are a few disadvantages, and that is if you need somebody's immediate attention, then you're limited to the same channels that they have to reach you. So you can either call them on the phone, or, you know, you can email, or IM, or whatever. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to respond and take care of your needs. And you don't have the face-to-face interaction, so if you need that, if you thrive on it, or if there's some other reason why, you know, just talking over IM or, you know, doing a Skype call or something won't work for you, you know, then you might wind up having to go into the office. But I haven't encountered that yet. So, you know, those are just things to think about. But if you want to try it, you know, work from home or tell your boss, you know what, I'm going to work this afternoon from the cafe or the coffee shop or, you know, the restaurant over around the corner, and just see how things go. And then if you need me, you know, I'm 5 minutes away. I can just come in and be in the office, but I really need to get this done, and I really want to eliminate some of these distractions. And so, you know, you just work it out. And if your company has a VPN or something that gets you access to everything you need, all the better. Now, there is one other thing that I want to bring up, and this is something that I heard about on the Free Agent Underground podcast. That's a podcast done by Kevin Miller and Justin Lucas Savage, Chuck Bowen, and a few other people. And they're all involved in the Free Agent Academy. I was a member there for about a month, and it wasn't getting me what I needed. So I actually left there and hired Justin Lucas Savage as my business coach. And so we're working on some things, both for Teach Me to Code and just things in general. But anyway, he and another guy named Andy Traub, they were talking on the episode from May 10th, I want to say. And, they were talking about managing your time, and it's a great episode. I highly recommend you go check it out. But they recommended a piece of software called Rescue Time. And rescue time, what it does is it actually tracks your time. And, you know, it after a day or so, it'll give you a pretty good idea of what you've been spending your time on. You know, what websites you've been on. You know, what other programs you've had up, what you've been doing. And the nice thing is then you can go in and you can say, oh, well, I spent 2 hours on Facebook and I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, I was away from my computer for an hour, you know, watching that TV show, and that was kind of silly. You know, but you can easily set up those kinds of things, and then you just, you basically account for your time, and it's just so, it'll open your eyes. If you sit down and you just basically map out, okay, I did this for 15 minutes, and I did this for 15 minutes, and then I did this for 15 minutes. And it wouldn't shock me at all if people wind up saving several hours a week by doing that, by looking at it and going, oh, well, I just need to quit watching whatever TV show's on these days. I don't even remember. You know, but, you know, well, if I spent those hours doing this, then I'd, you know, be further ahead working in my yard or working on my business or working on my program, working on open source, you know, whatever it is. You know, that it's just it's something that really works. One other thing that I found that really helps is having a task list. Now, I'm not the kind of person that likes a really long list. In fact, my wife and I were joking about it today. You know, she'll sit down and she'll write down every detail of what she has to get done, and then she gets this ultimate pleasure from checking it off. And my deal is, you know, if I sat down and I actually found the patience to write out a list like that, man, checking it off, it would kill me. I'd just be like, oh, I still have 10 million things left to do. And so what I have to do is I actually have to create like small checklists. So I create a task list for today or something that basically says, hey, I don't know. Let's put something up. I just migrated the site over to WordPress. And so my task list for that would be something like, you know, migrate screencasts, migrate podcast, migrate articles, you know, create main page stuff, you know, and that would be my list. So then what I do is I'd go, okay, well, what do I need to get the screencast ported over? Well, you know, I need to, you know, import the data, and then I need to, you know, I need to set up the WordPress theme, you know, and I already know what those mean, so I don't need to go into any more detail, you know, where she'd probably be like, import the files, and then double check the website, and then create the links, and do this, and do that, and, you know, and for me, it's just, it doesn't work that way, so, you know, as I see things that I need to change, I just put them in the list of eventuals, I guess. And then I will break it apart into what I consider bite-sized chunks. In other words, something that I could probably do in about an hour. But I don't put the details in there because that's not the way I function. But it may be the way you function. And if you need the details in there, if you need, you know, write the test and then write this method, then write that method, then write that method, then write that method, then, you know, run the test. Then, you know, if that's the way you work, then do that. But then what you do is then if you thrive on checking that stuff off, or in my case, when I thrive on, hey, I got everything done today, you know, I'm kind of the big picture kind of person, you know, but if you're the detail-oriented person, you know, then you can be checking, you know, those things off and feeling good about it. Whatever it is, you know, I found that those kinds of task lists really help. And so I don't usually break things down more than one or two steps, but it may work for you to break things down into minute detail. You know, as long as you're not spending too much time to make it inefficient. Excuse me. To make it inefficient. So anyway, that's basically my take on time management. I really hope this helps. I just want to point out that again, you know, email, phone, IM, social media, you know, any of that stuff. You know, they're pushing data at you, but ultimately it's up to you to kind of pick up the other end. And so if those are distractions that you have, then find a way to postpone those, you know, and the Pomodoro technique will work, or you can just schedule the time in, you know, just say, well, I'm going to work for an hour and then I can do that kind of stuff for 10 or 15 minutes and then I can work for another hour, which is kind of like the Pomodoro technique. But you know what, find a method that works for you, you know, get those task lists up if they make sense for you and check that stuff off. But anyway, I really hope that this kind of inspires you to look at the way that you work and consider, okay, well, this should work. This might work. This is something that I want to do. And, you know, even try working from somewhere else, work from the coffee shop or the or work from home. And I'm just going to go ahead and wrap this up. You know, I just want to remind you that you can go check out New Relic, www.newrelic.com. Also, feel free to go to iTunes and leave a review on the Teach Me to Code podcast. Also, come check out the new site. I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on that I'm just wrapping up, so there might be a few glitches, but you know, it's really coming along nicely, and I really think it's going to work out. So anyway, go out there, build software better, and we'll all get it done one developer at a time. Thanks.